In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' encounter with religious leaders in Jerusalem ultimately led to his crucifixion. He warned and rebuked them 6 times in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" And he details with proof their corruption. Then, departing the city, he anticipated his final entry into Jerusalem. The day would be called Palm Sunday, when the crowds recognize him as the promised true king over David's abiding kingdom. Let us give attention to his announcement concerning Jerusalem at the end of Matthew 23. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Brothers and sisters, the name Jerusalem means the city of peace. Its ancient name was Salem, simply meaning peace. In the 14th chapter of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we read, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High." Of all Bible leaders foreshadowing Christ, Melchizedek does so most fully. He alone served in all three of Christ's offices: prophet, priest, and king. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. So he's also identified with Christ's royalty as Prince of Peace. Christ's heartbroken cry addressed to the city in Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," is a lament that it had not lived up to its name as a city of peace. He called it the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Instead of being a city of peace, it became a city of persecution and even murder of prophets and other messengers sent by God. In a few days, the religious and civil leaders were to unjustly condemn to death Jesus, the righteous Messiah of God. Yes, as the tender great shepherd, he was ready to lay down his life to ransom his beloved sheep. We read at the end of Matthew chapter 9, "When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." The people were wandering without guidance or care, like lost sheep, while their leaders prepared to put to death the one true shepherd. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. More importantly, as the light of the world, his teaching lit up their way. Jesus did not spare any effort to guide and protect the people. Yet he knew that the same crowd who would welcome him with hosannas as Son of David, the heavenly king, a few days later would shout even louder, demanding that Pilate crucify him. When Pilate insisted that Jesus is innocent of wrongdoing, they all shouted, "His blood be on us and on our children." Brothers and sisters, Jesus nurtured them tenderly, as a hen covers her vulnerable chicks with her wings to protect them from the merciless and murderous vultures. such as the leaders of Jerusalem. The city no longer served as a shelter of peace, but as the house for inflicting suffering, injustice, and oppression on God's people. It rejected the very mercy and goodness of God embodied in the Savior. The leaders indeed had corrupted God's kingdom and distorted God's truth. They made it a city of violence and murder of innocent people. It was about to play its last and most vicious role in alliance with Jesus' real enemy, the devil. Unwittingly, it was about to deliver Jesus to the slaughter as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This, however, is not all. Christ, the sovereign Savior, would yet use the city to launch the birth of His universal church and His abiding kingdom. Still, the city would inflict immense sufferings on the Savior's followers, beginning with spilling the blood of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Jesus' words, "See, your house is left to you desolate," announced not only the coming destruction of the city by the Romans in the year 70 AD, but also its self-destruction. It faced the just judgment it deserved. Yet a new Jerusalem, a city of true and abiding peace, is announced. Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed the nature of the new Jerusalem in his 33rd chapter. "The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and He will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge." The prophet Isaiah goes on to speak of King Jesus and His expanding kingdom. "Your eyes will behold the King in His beauty. They will see a land that stretches afar." Isaiah concludes in chapter 66 with a beautiful poetic description of the heavenly Jerusalem. "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her joy. All you who mourn over her, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees." Yes, the heavenly Jerusalem is the true city of Christ, the Prince of Peace. He extended peace to her like a river. It is indeed the city of peace. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, on his part, writing to the Gentile, non-Jewish believers of Galatia, explains the contrast between earthly and heavenly Jerusalem. He says in the 4th chapter, "Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother." The apostle wrote these words a good number of years before the destruction of Jerusalem. He knew Jesus' words as well as the Old Testament prophet's condemnation of Jerusalem's evil and corruption. He understood the Lord's plan for a different heavenly Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem, enslaved to sin and the devil, represented the worldly spirit of rebellion. Christ's people, Jews and Gentiles alike, are liberated. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us that the father of faith, Abraham, like his son Isaac and grandson Jacob, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Murderous Earthly Jerusalem was totally destroyed, having lost its connection to the blessing God promised to Abraham in Christ to bless all nations. Scriptures conclude in the book of Revelation with a vision of the New Jerusalem, a city of righteousness and peace. We read in the 21st chapter, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the message of the blessed gospel. Amen.